Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Habakkuk 3 and verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. These words were written over 27 centuries ago. It was not the first time such a confession had been made. David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, many other holy men of God since the creation recognized that truth. And we need to recognize it also. Every nation would do well to realize that it is strong to the extent that that nation looks to and leans on God. One need of mankind is someone strong on whom they can depend. Children lean on the strength of their parents. And we are the children of God, and we lean on our Heavenly Father. Almighty God has supplied mankind with what is needful. And in and of himself, man is incapable to live successfully. Even though some have tried, and some have even thought that they have succeeded in living life without God, people fail to realize that life itself is from God. And whether one succeeds in life or not is not determined by how he fares in this life temporarily and physically and materially, but how he will fare in the judgment and in eternity. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. But man can and should trust in the strength and the power of the Almighty God. God expects many things of his creatures, but he never expects or requires that which is beyond man with God's help, nor does he expect what is unreasonable. God has seen fit to provide man with evidences that sustain man's trust. He has shown his strength in many ways. We read of the creation and many other miraculous deeds, the power of his word to convert people from what they were into what they should be. There are the laws of nature in operation which God set in motion that demonstrate his power. He shows his ability through his providence. And we want to consider the manifestation of the power of God as has been shown through various victories enjoyed by Israel over their enemies. These events show God's strength and man's weakness and dependence. And hopefully, this knowledge will motivate us to be more confident as we place our trust in him and as we live our lives before him. I want you to consider the account of Israel leaving Pharaoh's slavery. At the completion of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt, Israel marched toward the Red Sea. But soon Pharaoh and Egypt recovered from the immediate impact of that plague and pursued Israel to either recapture them or destroy them. Either way, Israel was in danger. Israel, fresh from captivity, was not equipped for war. They were helpless before their enemies. There were mountains on either side of them and the sea in front of them, with Pharaoh coming behind them. How could they escape? They could not by their own power. But by the power of God in opening the sea, they were spared. Walls of water stood on either side as they passed over on dry land. A wall of fire stood between them and their foes until they were safely on the other side. The victory provoked a gigantic celebration, but such could never have taken place except for the power of God. Alone they would have been annihilated. Not only was that nation, but all nations are indebted to the strength of God because of that event. Israel was spared, and through Israel has come the Christ. 40 years after crossing the Red Sea, there was another crossing of water. This time it was at the Jordan River, even at flood stage. Once across, there was another victory awaiting Israel because of the power of God, and this was the taking of the city of Jericho. That city was walled and fortified. Israel's strength was not with her armies, but with faith in God. A very strange battle plan was delivered to Joshua. Israel was to march around the walls of the city one time each day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. Then they were to blow their trumpets and to shout. And when they obeyed what God instructed, The walls fell and the city was exposed. It became an easy prey for Israel. Now, obviously, Israel could not have captured the city without God's power. And even though what they did was essential, their obedience was not the power, but only gave them the benefit of God's power. This was another manifestation of the strength and the power of God, the same God to whom we, Christians, belong. In the process of conquering Canaan, there were many times when God's power was the difference between victory and defeat for Israel. On one occasion, when Joshua defeated five kings while defending the city of Gibeon, even though the Gibeonites had deceived Joshua into making a covenant with them, which he should not have done, the covenant called for Joshua to protect the city and to provide it with safety. The other Canaanite cities became aroused toward Gibeon because of their alliance with Israel, and they threatened it. When Gibeon sent word to Joshua for help, Joshua and his army came quickly to their aid. And in the battle that followed, two expressions of God's power are evident. One, the enemies fled in panic. And two, more of the enemy were killed by hailstones than from the swords of Israel. Another display of God's power, when God slowed down the sun, when he spoke of the sun as standing still, giving Joshua almost a full day longer in which to carry the fight. Because of God? Not because of Joshua. Not because of his army alone. Because of God, the victory was won. Again, when Israel fought with two Amorite kings, the victory belonged to Israel because of God's strength. Joshua 24 and verse 12, "And I have sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow." God sent hornets into the midst of the Amorites. And being occupied with fighting the hornets, the Amorites were no match for Israel, and they fled in defeat. Friend, this was another manifestation of God's power in a strange way that victories were accomplished. Nearly 200 years after entering Canaan, Israel was in servitude to the Midianites, right in their own homeland. This was because of their failure to be faithful to God. But in their oppression, they cried unto the Lord penitently, and God sent a deliverer whose name was Gideon. Gideon sent forth a call to arms, and 32,000 volunteered. Judges 7 and verse 2 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." So God instructed Gideon to allow all who wished to return home, and 22,000 of them returned, but this still left 10,000. But God told Gideon that they were still too many. And he gave directions for a test to be made to determine who would return and who would stay. The test involved how the people would drink water from the stream. And all but 300 men were sent home. What could 300 men do against the Midianites, whose number was like that of locusts, having camels without number, more like the sands of the seashore? But the whole matter was arranged by the Lord rather than by man. Israel was more than equal to the task before them, but only because of the strength and the power of God. That's the point we want to make. The Midianites were encircled at night by the 300 men, and at a given signal the men broke pitchers containing lighted torches and blew their trumpets and shouted. The Midianites were thrown into disarray, thinking they were surrounded by a powerful host of men, and they began striking out even against each other in their confusion, killing and wounding and destroying themselves, and those who could fled. Once again, the power of God had vanquished the enemies of his people. There is no question as to whom the credit for the victory belonged. Friend, what lessons do we learn? Oh, there are several we need to learn, but let us emphasize just two. We realize these victories were due to the power of God. But we also cannot fail to see how people had to cooperate with God's directions. God expects man to follow where he leads. The benefits of God's strength were enjoyed when man realized he needed God and obeyed God. Israel had to march into the Red Sea. Joshua had to circle Jericho and enter the fray, just as did Gideon. We learn that our God is a God of strength and power, but let us not think that God supplies his power to us regardless of our attitude in response to his will. God's power and man's duty were both present in all of these events that we have mentioned. In the New Testament, we have a statement by Paul regarding strength. He said, "I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me," Philippians 4 and verse 13. Paul would have been inaccurate to have simply written that he could do all things and stopped there. That would have revealed reliance totally on himself. He would have ignored the real source of power, but he added, "In him that strengtheneth me," with reference to Christ. He revealed a true understanding of strength, did he not? God has been and still is the source of power in every age. Christians today can say with the Israelites of old, "The Lord is my strength." Possibly this illustration might assist us to see the thrust of the lesson and what our attitude should be. Some botanists were combing the mountainous area in Scotland on one occasion. They spotted a rare species of flower, but it was far down the side of a steep precipice. Now, there was a small lad with them, and they asked him to allow them to lower him down the side of the mountain by a rope to pluck the flower that they might study it. But the boy refused in spite of the rewards that were offered him. But then he suggested, "If my father holds the rope, I'll do it." The father was brought to the place, given the rope, and the boy went down the side unafraid and secured the flower as requested. And what is the moral here? The boy trusted his father and his father's strength, and he knew how his father cared for him. He was not afraid as long as his father held the rope, because he trusted his power. Dear friend, the application is clear, is it not? We can have complete confidence in our Heavenly Father. He holds the rope, if you please, to our lives and to our spiritual security. But we must trust him. And when we do, we shall be able to do what is expected of us without fear, but with assurance and with confidence. Do we trust the power and the strength of God? Each must ask and answer for himself. But we have every reason to look to and to lean upon Almighty God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.